side effects to those?
Not that I know of, but they don't promote healthy kidney function.
Right. So I was curious because you know how you hear the commercial and you're like, you know, yes. The commercial is the side effects and like some of it's like maybe suicidal, maybe this, maybe that. And it's just like, wait a minute, like what, why am I why would I ever want to take that? So that's why I asked the question. But to get back to what you're saying is they're on diuretics, basically, which is like a Band-Aid for like a gash, right? Which is just kind of like, you know, stopping stuff for a minute, but it's still, you're still heading down the same road. It's not changing the direction. It's you're not getting on a different road to go to a different place. You're still going to the same place. You just might be in you might be in the more comfortable car getting there.
Right.
So,
but you're still going to end up in that chair.
Right.
You're still going to end up with somebody like me putting you on a machine and managing your treatment, and you're going to be beholding to that machine to keep you alive. And so, you know, that's the bad part. And because I have been dealing with patients and I've done this for so many years, I started seeing that trend. This is like, again, you know, and I spoke about to this before, you know, somebody who's in dialysis for 10 years, they're not going to recognize this. Because I stayed at one center for 19 years, I was able to see it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that my colleagues see this. I don't know if they've recognized this. And that's one of the things that, you know, we'll do here is we'll talk to some of my colleagues, some of those people that I, you know, met over the years that are in different parts of the country and see if they recognize this as I did. But for the most part, you know, dialysis technicians either, you know, leave a center after a couple years and go to somewhere else because they want to make more money, or that they maybe their families relocate, they move to a different city. Maybe they don't work in dialysis anymore. Maybe, you know, they didn't like the experience. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're just looking for a job, this probably isn't it. Because this is about taking care of people. And if you're just looking for a job, this will get too intense for you. This will get too personal for you. Mm. You might not want to be a part of this. And that's what kept me here, was that personal, you know, interaction with my patients. I felt like I was doing something good.
Right.
And you know, I think all healthcare professionals should feel that way about being in healthcare. But to be honest with you, that is not the case for everyone. And you know, we have to respect that. But some people need a job. And if they come into this looking for a job, this is going to be way too personal. This is going to require too much emotion for someone who just wants to work at a job and go home and not take it with them. Because believe me, they're going to build relationships in this process. And because of those relationships, I was able to identify these issues. Right. Without building those relationships, those patients couldn't have told me what they told me that allowed me to connect the dots.
Right. So not to cut you off.
Absolutely.
So just in like, so what was I going to say? So it's a complex issue. It's not like there's one thing that needs to be corrected. I mean, you've seen the bigger picture. You've seen that there is, you know, there's almost like a cocktail of things that could be done that could make things better. Speak to some of that. Speak to some of the issues that we're going to deal with, some of the things that we're going to look at that we can, you know, maybe affect some change here, maybe affect some change here, maybe put some people together to have conversations. Like, what are some of those issues that we can deal with so that people, like, have a better experience, you know, in the stages of kidney failure as well as in the treatment?
Yeah. So one of the things that has to happen, and I read an article recently, maybe not recently, I think this article is about a year ago, but there's an article that talks about the 10 things that nephrologists wish family practitioners knew.
Mm.
And these are things like the 5 stages of kidney failure. And let's just talk about those just really quickly. So one of the things is that you know, there's these stages of kidney failure. And when you get to, you know, there's stage one, which, you know, you have kidney function between 100% and 90%. And that's a person whose kidneys are functioning at a high level. And then you're going to have a stage two where kidney function is between 60% and 80%. And again, in these two stages, you don't see any symptoms. I mean, you feel fine. Your levels of creatinine in your bloodstream are fine. Your albumin is fine, which is protein, which is a huge indicator that your kidneys aren't functioning correctly when you have high levels of protein in your urine. And that can be done at your doctor's office when you do a urine test. When they do your yearly checkup, they can see if you have protein in your urine spilling into your urine. That tells us that your kidneys aren't functioning correctly. Then there's stage 3A, which is 45 to 59% kidney function. Now we're getting into an area where we can affect change. If we change our diet at this stage, if we are more cognitive about what we're eating and thinking about how that can affect our kidney function, we can stop kidney failure or slow it down at that point. And so that's a pivotal point for me. I mean, and I think we've talked about it before, but I've created a class that I want to go around and teach members of the community to teach this class. And I, in fact, want to teach that class to them. And 3A is where that class has to happen in the equation of kidney function. If it happens after that, it's not as effective. I know that when a patient gets to stage 3B, which is 30 to 44% kidney function, that there may not be a time to turn it around, that our time is short. Because when a patient gets to stage 4, which is 15 to 29% kidney function, they're going to go on dialysis, Ira. Mm-hmm. You know, they're headed there in the not so far off future. And so those are just, I mean, that's just one thing that I wish family doctors were aware of. So how we tackle those issues is with a class. We need to be able to identify people who are at stage 3A, and we need to bring them to a class. And that's going to have to happen through family practitioners. Right. The nephrologist hasn't seen these people yet. They haven't even been referred to a nephrologist yet. They're not even talking about dialysis. That they've not even been introduced to the idea that their kidneys aren't functioning at a certain level. And all these people fall under what's called chronic kidney disease, which is right before you get to end-stage renal disease. And so all these people are considered CKD patients. They're not having that conversation with their family doctors at all. Family doctors aren't referring them to nutritionists. In fact, when patients get to their nephrologists and are referred to nephrologists at stage 4 and 5, they're not even being referred to a nutritionist. And so those are just issues that I think, you know, that we need to tighten up on that we can fix. But creating a class for me was one of the ways that I could, you know, that we could affect change and we could begin to have this conversation. And that's what needs to happen. That conversation needs to be, you know, happening at stage 3A. And that conversation is not happening. We know that because when I meet these patients in dialysis and it's their first day, they still haven't had the conversation.
Right.
And we're maybe 10 years into their disease, Ira.
Wow.
And so that's, you know, that's what having conversations with these patients was so important to me, because I thought I was just getting to know them. But right. They helped me connect the dots. I didn't know that I would end up here. I had no clue. I just thought I was doing the thing that human beings should be doing. And when they're taking care of somebody, is getting to know them and having a conversation with them. And over the years, their stories started to link. I started to see reoccurring elements in each of these people's stories.
Right.
And that's what began, you know, my journey in trying to figure out how to connect those dots. And this is what we've come up with.
Right. So the other side of it, so that's you dealing with the patient and all the things that are physically going on with the patient. But, you know, in that image behind you. It's like, I'm always looking at that. That's the system, right? Is the yes. clinic. And there's like, it's big business. You know what I mean? Like a lot of our healthcare, a lot of our issues, cancer, you know what I mean? The COVID, like people are making big money off of people being sick, right?
Yes.
And so you're faced with someone who you're as someone who cares about the patient in a system that isn't necessarily always about the best care for the patient. It's about crunching numbers and it's about managing a system, right? So talk to me about the system that you're a part of without getting yourself in too much trouble. But I know that that right. is part of what drives you is the frustration of dealing with a system that isn't always about the patient.
Yeah, this is the toughest part. I mean, I think, you know, taking care of the patients and caring, you know, certainly I get paid a salary to do that. You know, we all know that healthcare is a necessary thing. One of the things that was very illuminating to me is that I was working in the system before it changed over to a corporate model. So again, that allowed me some vantage point that maybe others don't have because I worked in this system when it was a nonprofit, when primarily most of the companies, I would say 90% of the companies were nonprofits.
Wow.
And because they were nonprofits, their goal wasn't profit. Their goal was to provide a service and they were compensated for that service. We'll be right back.